Thank you, Wayne. We'll look forward to another song at the conclusion. The well-known popular Christian writer, speaker, author, Chuck Swindoll, has been attributed as writing the following. I've seen it in similar forms in several places, so I'm not sure it's really from him or not. I don't know, but the bottom line is I think it's good, and the source that I'm quoting it from today has his name attached to it, so we'll say it's from Chuck Swindoll. And it's entitled Attitude. Attitude, and it goes like this. The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than facts. It is more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than successes, than what other people think or say or do. It is more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. It will make or break a company, a church, a school, a home. The remarkable thing is, we have a choice every day regarding the attitude that we will embrace for that day. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act in a certain way. We cannot change what's inevitable. The only thing we can do is play on the one thing we have, and that is our attitude. I am convinced, he writes, that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. A lot of food for thought in that. Did you hear the one about the psychiatric chiropractor? He specializes in attitude adjustments. And maybe we need to be our own psychiatric chiropractors. Attitude adjustments each day. Make sure we get our attitude online. So, how are you doing in dealing with your life? How's your attitude? Generally speaking, do you have an attitude of gratitude? Or would it be more accurate to say you have a disposition of despair? Or as, still having a hard time with Annie. With Dottie. With Annie. Annie. You know it's Annie now, right? Annie Ross. I'm going to make it public. It's Annie Ross. She did some research, found out something about her past, and she's going with Annie. Annie Ross. She was talking about, what was her sign? Whining. Whining. An attitude of whining. I'd like to do a brief Bible survey with you on some texts on gratitude, thanksgiving, praise. Just brief, you know, you start doing thanksgiving, thanks, gratitude, praise in a concordance. You got a lot to look up, a whole bunch. So I had to do a lot of weeding down, picking and choosing. Just a few general things. So I'd like to invite you to take your Bibles if you'd like to follow along. I'll give you the page numbers if you're going to use the Bibles in front of you in the pew Bible. First of all, in the Old Testament, in doing some research this week, I found at least three different kings in the Old Testament. And these kings were considered generally good kings. A lot of them weren't. But these were some good kings who appointed priests and Levites and people in the temple services, and even in one case, in wartime, in battle, they were appointed to lead out in giving thanks and praise to God. And you thought that having worship leaders was some newfangled thing. Hold your horses. The first one is King David. Let's turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Found on page 409, if you're using the Pew Bible in front of you. These are from the NIV, the New International Version. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 4, page 409. It's talking about David. Talking about, if you look at the verses right before, they were bringing the Ark of God, set it inside David's tent. Verse 2 talks about David had done some sacrifices and so on. Then verse 4, he, David, appointed some of the Levites to minister before the Ark of the Lord, to make petition, to give thanks, and to praise the Lord, the God of Israel. People were given jobs to praise God. King David appointed people to praise the Lord. How's that for a church job? That's what a worship leader is. They're leading us in praising God. Let's look at another one. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. This is a war scene, a battle scene. Page 442, if you're following along with the Pew Bible. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And we're going to look at what good King Jehoshaphat did. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, and let me just read verse 21. They're going into war. They're going into battle. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army. These weren't scouts, these was the choir, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Talk about a Thanksgiving story. The king sent the choir out in front of the army before the battle. And we're not going into all the details, but they won. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 31. We're going to look at King Hezekiah. 2 Chronicles chapter 31, that's found on page 453. 2 Chronicles chapter 31 and verse 2. Hezekiah assigned the priests and Levites to divisions, each of them according to their duties as priests or Levites. Now here's their duties: to offer burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, to minister, to give thanks, and to sing praises at the gates of the Lord's dwelling. What would you think if we had a choir welcoming you to church out front every Sabbath? That might be interesting. That'd be interesting, wouldn't it? That's what Hezekiah did. So many of the Psalms, as I look through the Old Testament, so many of the Psalms have the word thanks. Thanksgiving, you know. Just the phrase, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Oodles of Psalms begin with that phrase. But I'm going to look at just one, Psalm 147. It starts on page 622, Psalm 147. Let me just start reading, and I'm just going to read a few verses. Psalm 147. Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. The Lord sustains the humble but casts the wicked to the ground. That's coming, police officer. That day's coming. Verse 7, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make music to our God on the harp. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain. He makes grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. So, the Old Testament is full of times of offering praise to God, giving thanks to God for his goodness, for his love, for his blessings. It's interesting, as in looking at some of these verses, as I transition from the Old Testament into the New Testament in the life of Jesus, that in the King James Version, Jesus is often described as doing something to food before he breaks it and distributes it. In the King James, it says he helps me out. Help me out. He blesses the bread. He blesses the food. But what's interesting is when I think of, well, let me back up. Have you ever been at a meal? And many times right before they eat, they ask you to do what? Say the blessing. You ever heard that expression? Please, would you please say the blessing? Now, when I think of blessing something, I think of bestowing some special blessing, some special help from God onto whatever it is we're going to do. Like if we bless the meal, I'm asking God to put some sort of special help into it. Of course, a lot of cooks don't need that, do they? I don't know. Or we're asking God to help in a special way. That's what I think of when I think of blessing something. However, if you read these texts in the New Testament where it talks about Jesus blessing the food or doing a blessing, if you read it in a newer translation, such as the New International Version, instead of blessing the food, we find it's translated a little differently. We find Jesus, you know what it says? Giving thanks. That's really what it's talking about. It's talking about him blessing the food. He's really just simply giving thanks. He's not putting some sort of special help into the food, like the cook didn't do a good enough job or the food was spoiled. He's thanking God. So it's really, when we're asking someone to give the blessing, we're really simply asking them to give thanks. Look at it. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, verse 19, page 970. 970. Matthew chapter 14, verse 19. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. Simply gave thanks. Another verse, Matthew chapter 15. Go just a few pages to Matthew chapter 15. Turn the page. Page 972, Matthew 15, 35 and 36. This is when he's feeding a multitude. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground, and he took the seven loaves and the fish, and when he had given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and they in turn to the people. One more with Jesus, and this is at when he had the Lord's Supper. The Last Supper with his disciples. Matthew 26, the communion service, the beginning of the communion service for us when he's celebrating the Passover with them. Matthew 26, found on page 985. Matthew 26, verses 26 and 27. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant." So, Jesus gave thanks. And the Apostle Paul, as we move on through the New Testament, the Apostle Paul had exactly the same practice when he ate. If you turn to Acts chapter 27, Acts chapter 27, that's page 1109. 1109. Acts 27, starting with verse 33. Paul had been shipwrecked. Not a pleasant situation to be in. Acts chapter 27, starting with verse 33. Just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat. "For the last 14 days," he said, "you have been in constant suspense and have gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. Now I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head." After he said this, he took some bread, and gave thanks to God in front of them all. Then he broke it and began to eat. They were all encouraged and ate some food themselves. So, continuing on with Paul, we've looked at some stories, some examples of what people did. Now we're just going to read two or three verses that have to do with some of Paul's advice. And one of them is found in Philippians chapter 4. Page 1163. Philippians chapter 4. And this is Philippians is a book of praise, a book of rejoicing, a book of looking on the good side of life and rejoicing in the blessings of God. Philippians chapter 4, starting with verse 4, Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And it's as though his readers and the people listening said, "What? What?" So he says, "I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. God's here. He's with us. So what? Because of that," he says, "do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Very similar to the scripture reading that Vern read for us this morning. You want peace? He said, God's near. So focus on him. Come to him. Connect with him. Be thankful that he's here, and let that peace come in and guard your heart and mind. Then for the scripture reading, I want to read it from the front of the bulletin. I took it for the front of the bulletin from The Message. Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 to 17 from The Message, which is, by the way, the same paraphrase that I read this morning before we honored police officer Miller. The Message, Colossians 3, 15 to 17, goes like this. Cultivate thankfulness. Isn't that neat? Cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. We don't need the pigs. We don't need the chickens. We don't need the cows, as the story went. We need the word of Christ with thankfulness have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense. And sing. Sing your hearts out to God. Let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way. That's neat, isn't it? And then another very well-known passage regarding thankfulness is 1 Thessalonians 5. Got to read this one. 1 Thessalonians 5, page 1171. 1171. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Starting with verse 16. 1 Thessalonians 5, starting with verse 16. "Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Seneca, the Roman speaker and writer living during the time of Christ, is quoted as saying, "Nothing is more honorable than a grateful heart." I began with a short reading on attitude. I want to close with another one entitled, "I Choose Gratitude." And it goes like this. "Even though I clutch my blanket and growl when the alarm rings, I choose to be grateful that I can hear. There are many who are deaf. Even though I keep my eyes closed against the morning light as long as possible, I choose to be grateful that I can see. Many are blind. Even though I huddle in my bed and put off rising, I choose to be grateful that I have the strength to rise. There are many who are bedridden. even though the first hour of my day is hectic, when socks are lost, toast is burned, tempers are short, and my children are so loud, I choose to be grateful for my family. There are many who are all alone. Even though my breakfast table never looks like the pictures in magazines, and the menu is at times unbalanced, I choose to be grateful for the food I have, because there are many who are hungry. Even though the routine of my job is often monotonous, I choose to be grateful for the opportunity to work. There are many who have no job or who are not able to work. Even though I grumble and bemoan my fate from day to day and wish my circumstances were different, I choose to be grateful for life. Some thoughts on choosing gratitude. We will be privileged as Wayne Nash sings our song of response for us.
Oh.
Father, we're grateful that we can end this service by being lifted up and having our eyes pointed to you on your throne and filling the universe, filling this world with your glory. We are grateful that you are always with us, that you will always help us, and may we be grateful as we live and work and help others be ready for when we can see you face to face and thank you in person, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.